This is the definitive guide to a website that works. Hi, I'm Jess, and there's a shocking trend that nobody's talking about, and it's actually costing businesses billions. Yep, billions. And it's called faulty websites. So by the time a business owner goes through the process of creating their website and launching it, doing their launch, it's already too late to fix it. So when a business owner realizes that their website doesn't convert customers, there might be nothing they can do except start over. Like this one startup from Seattle who spent $80,000 getting their website created, and they, 3 weeks after launch, had to throw it out and start over from scratch. You know, in some ways that startup was lucky because they could start over, but some business owners, they just can't start over. And so they throw money at their faulty website by continuing to send in traffic that doesn't convert. And that's going to make their marketing way more expensive than it needs to be. Sure, web designers are creating these websites, but business owners play an important role too. The best way to explain this is to examine the system from multiple sides: designers, business owners, and marketers. By the way, I'll say designer a lot, but what I really mean is designers and developers. It's just easier to say designers. So who am I? Well, I'm Jessica Jobes, and I had a 13-year career at Microsoft split between marketing and engineering. And following my time at Microsoft, I went to work at a web design studio as the studio director. And after that, I started a marketing agency called On The Grid and transitioned to be an online coach. And that brings us to today. This video includes four chapters. Chapter one, the truth about web design and marketing. Chapter two, selecting the right website builder. Number three, stop wasting money on marketing. And number four, get your website to actually work. And if you don't have time to stick with me through four chapters of content, it's about a 30-minute video, then how about take a copy to go? Go ahead and click that button down there, and it takes you a few seconds to fill out the simple form, and this video plus the PDF version of it will be delivered straight to your inbox, and you can watch it or read it on your own time. All right, let's keep going with chapter one, the truth about web design and marketing. Why aren't websites living up to their potential? If you think about it, websites have two jobs. They need to represent the brand, and they also need to work. The web design industry takes care of job number one, making beautiful websites that are unique and special. Web designers have the brand thing down. It's job number two where everything breaks. Web designers are not properly equipped or paid to get a website working. The best way to explain this is to start by looking at how decisions are made while the website's being created. The business owner says, "Pricing should be on the first page." The designer responds, "I really think page two is better." Business owner, "I don't like the messaging." The designer stands their ground, "But your customers will." Business owner, "I want the colors to be softer." Designer, "But bright is in." And on and on. And if you've been through this before, you can probably relate when I say the person with the loudest voice or most conviction wins. But most importantly, all of these decisions are being made using assumptions. And these are assumptions about what will convert visitors into leads and sales. So in a lot of ways, everybody's essentially guessing their way through it. So wait, remind me, what's a conversion? A conversion is turning a website visitor into something more valuable for the business. It can be accomplished by getting someone to respond to a call to action or a CTA, like filling out an email address form or a contact form, signing up for a freemium product, purchasing a product, or even clicking through to an app store. Websites with high conversion rates are those that are successful in getting visitors to respond to call to actions. Why are conversions important? Because website visitors are great and all, but in order to hit revenue targets, you want them to eventually buy from you, right? So why so much guessing? Now, I have nothing against making assumptions. Actually, assumptions are very necessary in order to move a business forward. Where this falls down and where I have trouble with it is that these assumptions are being treated as fact. It turns out there's good reasons for this. The first one is that the majority of data that designers have access to is from focus groups and surveys. This is exactly how I started trying to bring data into my design process. I used many research tools and methods, including tools like AYTM, SurveyMonkey, Google Survey, Facebook, and Amazon Mechanical Turk. And while there are certain tools that are very helpful, like user testing, what web designers really need is traffic flowing into the website so they can see what's working and what isn't. But marketers are the ones that drive traffic, not web designers. Aha! And that brings me to number two. Designers are hired to create the website, and that's it. The budget shifts from design to marketing after the site launches. And websites don't convert on the first try anymore. They just don't. So design changes will be necessary after the site launches. And guess who makes these changes? Either the marketer, who, quote unquote, messes up the design, or the designer, who the business owner resents because they didn't budget for this work. Everyone's trying to do the right thing, but long story short, this whole system is not set up to get beautiful websites to work. Now, out of everything I've mentioned that's broken, lack of traffic during the design phase is what I believe is the biggest root cause. It's also the main reason why the web design industry continues to use an outdated method for creating websites called the waterfall method. So what's the waterfall method? It's a software development term where all the planning happens up front to define the whole project, and it involves creating a long list of to-dos. As time goes on and the items are checked off the list will get smaller and smaller as the project moves toward completion. In this approach, web designers start with beautiful designs, write code to bring the designs to life, and deliver a final website which is expected to succeed no matter what. Designers tend to use a lot of custom code because it gives them the ability to create exactly what they and the business owner want. This code locks in the beauty. It also locks in many of the assumptions that were made along the way, so the finished product isn't flexible to change at a later date. Waterfall allows everyone to stick to a plan, and the project can be completed on time and on budget. Business owners find comfort in this approach. They want to know how their website will look, how much it will cost, and how long it will take. Waterfall makes the most sense on paper and provides a false sense of security. While this method is useful for many types of projects, web design is not one of them because change is a must. So why doesn't waterfall work for web design? Well, the reality is that it takes many tests in order to get a website working. Not only does a marketer need to be adding call to actions, moving copy, changing copy, moving parts of the page around, you know, it's all about how do they get the visitors to flow through easier and to get them to take the actions that they want them to take. And this requires a flexible canvas for them to be working on. It requires change, and none of that's being considered during waterfall. So a better, more modern approach to web design is called the lean method or agile. All right, so the lean method, what is this? It's where you create a rough draft to get started, collect data to learn what is and isn't working, and then you improve the website over time. Notice the icon? The loop on top demonstrates that there's a feedback loop and that you're constantly working on the website to make improvements. The lean method, or some variation of it, is a development model that many great software teams use these days, like Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Google, and believe it or not, Bing, Bill Gates' favorite engineering team of all time. This is the engineering team I was on for 8 of my 13 years at Microsoft. The lean method hasn't yet permeated the web design industry because that traffic that's required for that feedback loop doesn't exist until the marketer takes over. So by the time that traffic starts flowing in, the web designer has already exited. They've already finished their project, and there's nobody there really to take that traffic and that feedback and incorporate it into the design. So unfortunately, for all these reasons, the web design industry is using an outdated method for developing websites, and it simply doesn't work. Let's talk about the launch. After the website's complete, typically there's a launch, sending in a lot of new traffic with a press release. Look, this is a really exciting time, but for most business owners, the high doesn't last long. The lack of leads and sales that result from the launch is disorienting, and they start to question everything. That took how many months and how many thousands of dollars? Now what? Many websites don't make it beyond launch because not only do they not work, but the marketer who's taken it over tells the business owner this website is faulty. There are typically two reasons why a marketer will encourage a business owner to throw out their faulty website and start over. The first is that it has too much custom code. And that means that the marketer can't make the necessary changes they need to make in order to get the website working. Or number two is that the website lacks key functionality. The site could have been created using a website builder or a theme that's not marketing friendly, or a combination of these two. The marketing rat race. Now let's say the faulty website continues to be used, as is the case with many new businesses. This is when the marketing rat race begins. Business owners tend to bounce from marketer to marketer, from Facebook to SEO to Google AdWords and back again. It's this never-ending cycle of searching for something, anything that will work. And why wouldn't they keep searching? Every marketing article you read these days makes sure to tell you how easy it is. So they try it. They try everything. And they don't give up. I'm so tired of writing checks, but I won't get any sales if I don't have any customers. And I won't get any customers if I don't do marketing. This quote's from an entrepreneur who's been in the marketing rat race for 3 years. And this brings me back to the beginning. So while marketing may seem inefficient and expensive at times, it's not the weak link. Websites are. The bottom line. Web designers create the website, and then the marketers drive traffic to it. There's not much overlap between the two functions, if any at all. I've come to the conclusion that nobody is to blame, and also that nobody's empowered to fix the problem on their own. But the two people who can make the biggest difference are the business owner and the web designer. So I've written this for you to help you get through this wasteful maze together and create websites that work. And that brings me to the end of chapter one. There's still three more chapters. If you don't have time to stick with me through this whole video, why not get a copy to go? So go ahead, click that button in the bottom right-hand corner, and you can get a video delivered straight to your inbox. You'll also get a PDF copy of the whole definitive guide to a website that works. And if you'd like to stick with me, let's go straight into chapter two, how to select the right website builder. Now that you've learned the truth about web design and marketing, the next thing you need to do is throw out the notion of a perfect website. Really, you should be thinking about a website as a living, breathing organism, one that's going to evolve over the life of your business. And in order for that website to evolve, you should also be thinking about all the number of people that are going to be working in that website for the life of your business. It's going to be your web designer, your marketer, you know, other people that work on your business. There's so many people that could potentially be working in that website. And so in order to bring this flexible website to life, one of the most important decisions you can make right off the bat is picking the right website builder. So let's talk about that. There are hundreds of builders out there, so research is necessary, but don't be fooled. Many website builders talk a good game, but there are very few that give the marketer the tools they need to grow a business efficiently. Which website builders are great? Number one on my list is WordPress, the most popular website builder. Expert marketers prefer working on WordPress because it gives them advanced features and tools that they can use to get a website ranking in search engines and converting traffic into leads and sales. WordPress, which was originally developed as a blogging platform, has 60% share of all the websites created using a website builder. This will be your safest bet because just about anybody will be able to jump in and help you at any point your website needs it. Number two on the list is Shopify. This is an e-commerce first platform. If you have an e-commerce website, this will likely be a better option to start with because it will make the shopping-related features much easier to set up and run. It only has 1.5% market share, so it's pretty small in comparison to WordPress, but Shopify is marketing-friendly. Expert marketers have access to the tools they need to get your site working. All right, so which website builders are not okay? One of the biggest trends in the web design community is to build on Squarespace. And sure, Squarespace is going to allow you to get a beautiful website up quickly, but this platform doesn't allow a marketer to do necessary SEO work in order to get your website to rank organically in the search results and get all that traffic flowing in. You may hear conflicting points of view because there's a lot of misleading information floating around. Designers say, we're pro Squarespace. Squarespace has native analytics and it allows for Google Analytics. You can also do native things to increase SEO. That makes sense because that's what Squarespace advertises. This is another one of those things that look great on paper. But if you're a marketer and you've inherited a Squarespace site that's not ranking in search results, you have a very different opinion. I advise my clients to leave Squarespace and go for WordPress. At least there are more options to solve SEO issues with WordPress. Websites that are important for growing a business over the long term shouldn't be built using Squarespace, at least until they fix some of those important SEO issues. The other website builder that I don't recommend is Wix. Wix is not marketing friendly at all yet. It's mostly about creating a beautiful website, not actually getting the website to work. Wix has similar SEO challenges as Squarespace, but the biggest issue is that it doesn't allow third-party tools. To get the rich data flowing in to understand what's working and what isn't, it's necessary to add some free software like Mouseflow or Hotjar. These are third-party tools that sites like Wix don't allow. So while Wix may be trending up, it's not mature enough to support a growing business over the long term. All right, so when are Squarespace and Wix okay? Because there are scenarios where I do recommend both of these platforms. The first is if you need a temporary website for, let's say you have a proof of concept business and you're just trying to get your idea out there as fast as possible and show it around to people to get some feedback, by all means, use Squarespace or Wix because those are going to help you get that website up quickly. The other time I recommend Squarespace and Wix is related to this, and it's about, you know, moving quickly. So the faster you can move on the internet and make design changes and get your website converting based on the data that you're seeing, if you can move faster with Squarespace or Wix, then by all means, use those as your website builder. Just know that as the business matures, the website will eventually need to migrate to a more marketing-friendly platform. One thing to keep in mind if you go down this path is to make sure the temporary website builder allows you to transfer the domain. If the domain's held hostage by the website builder, that's going to put you in a pretty tough bind. So, to be safe, consider using a temporary domain name to go with a temporary website. What about themes? Businesses that can move the fastest have the biggest competitive advantage. On the flip side, businesses that move slowly are going to be left in the dust. So what enables speed? Themes. If the website's being created without a theme, it means new, untested functionalities being added. Not only does this slow down design and increase cost, it also makes it difficult for a marketer to make changes to the website to get it converting. Themes might make a website a little less unique, but I'll take speed and cost savings any day over uniqueness. And not just any theme will do. A mature theme is better than a new theme. I always err on the side of choosing themes with lots of downloads because they have most of the bugs worked out by the time I use it. At a minimum, select a theme that's already released a couple of versions. Remember we talked about making sure the website's a place for everyone to work? Designer, business owner, marketer. Find a theme which has a support package or an engaged community. Even if you're a WordPress expert, someone else might want the extra support. All right, now let's talk about flexibility. Now that you know websites don't convert on the first try, a flexible theme becomes important. One that allows you to move elements around, like the navigation. One that allows you to add features, like a slider, or to easily remove elements from the page, like the form. And guess which themes do this well? Themes that have tons of downloads, because they typically cater to multiple different business types. So look for themes that are very popular. Again, by doing this, you'll be giving up on some uniqueness. We use the Avata WordPress theme because it meets all of this criteria. It's one of the most popular themes with tons of downloads, and it has a support package and engaged community. Anytime my marketing team's stuck, we can get help quickly, and we rarely have to hire a developer to write code. One way to select a theme is to search in Theme Forest and filter by popularity. Look for something near the top of the list. Not all WordPress or Shopify sites are created equal. All right, so if the website's created using Shopify or WordPress, that's definitely a big step in the right direction, but that's not everything, because if that site is filled with all sorts of custom code, that kind of negates the whole purpose of these platforms and themes in the first place. Instead of including tons of HTML, PHP, or JavaScript, it's best to use the drag and drop visual page builders that are already built into the themes. Like, for example, in WordPress, it would be using Fusion Builder or Visual Composer in order to do the majority of the page designing. This is what Avada's Fusion Builder looks like in WordPress. All right, so designers, if you're watching this or you're a business owner and you're trying to convince your designer to use one of these visual page composers, then this might be helpful to you, because the designer's mindset should be, how do I create a website in a way that multiple people can be working here over the life of the business, right? So even though it might be faster for you to write your own custom code and in order to make the website that much more beautiful, you might have to just like hold back a little bit because you want to be a good team player. And the bottom line, don't fall into the trap of building a perfect website full of custom code using a website builder that marketers can't work with. In today's world of website creation, flexible, fast, and collaborative is the name of the game. That brings us to the end of chapter 2. Feel free to take this with you to go to continue watching it on your own time, or let's keep right on going with chapter 3, stop wasting money on marketing. So now you have a flexible website, and that's a huge milestone. Congratulations. So now you might be thinking, I'm ready to sell. Well, you might be, but your website's not. It's not ready for you to go all in on marketing. If you did, you'd be paying to get visitors on a website that's not ready to receive it. You see, your new website is jam-packed with something called friction, the number one cause of visitors not converting. Friction is anything that's getting in the way of turning your visitors into leads and sales. Or another way to think about it is that it's anything on your website causing problems and snags for a potential customer. It's little things that make your visitors think too hard. It's things like having a header that's too bright and loud, causing visitors to click on the tabs instead of scrolling down the homepage to read about your product. Or it could be a slow-loading page causing your frustrated visitors to leave your website too soon. After friction causes visitors to leave, how many people are left to click your call to actions? Maybe not many. The friction impact. On the left is what my website looked like when my designer was finished. I loved it, and I knew it was full of friction, so I wanted to remove it before I sent in a bunch of traffic. I did. On the right, you see my conversions went up 220%. The design on the left only got 15 clicks per 100 visitors, while the one on the right got 48 clicks per 100. With the first design on the left, in order to get 48 clicks, I would have needed 320 visitors. You can see that my website just became 220% more efficient, making my marketing so much less expensive over the life of my business. So wait, remind me, how do you measure conversions? Conversions are typically leads or sales, and you measure them with a simple calculation called the conversion rate. To get this value, you take the number of conversions and divide it by the total number of visitors. For example, if you had 100 visitors this week on your website and one sale over the same period, then you have a 1% conversion rate. What is a micro conversion? A micro conversion is just like it sounds. It's a small part of a conversion, and it's typically leading your visitors towards a larger conversion, right? Like a lead or a sale. So a smaller conversion, a micro conversion, can be a click. It can be scrolling down the page pretty far. It can be staying on your site a long time. It could be adding products to the shopping cart. Any of these positive signals that are leading your visitors towards something that's more valuable for your business, those are called micro conversions. In my conversion rate calculation above, I used micro conversions as a numerator. So in the first design, for every 100 visitors that came in, I got 15 clicks on my call to actions. In my friction-free design, for every 100 visitors that came in, I got 48 clicks on my call to actions. Throughout all of my content, I tend to use the terms micro conversion and conversion interchangeably. And obviously, a conversion is more valuable than a micro conversion, but they both provide positive signals to tell me whether we're moving the needle in the right direction or not. Removing friction versus getting a website working. Now, just because I got more conversions by removing homepage friction, that doesn't mean my website's working. There are multiple steps between getting a visitor to click and getting them to become a valuable lead or purchase my product. And there's friction involved all along the way. To get your website working, you need to go step by step, removing friction on every important page and form. After a visitor clicks on a call to action, are they completing that next step, like filling out the contact form or purchasing what's in their shopping cart? When removing friction, you'll want to focus on things like how many fields the contact form has. Are they all necessary or can you remove one? What about the shopping cart? Are customers purchasing what they add to it, or is there something in the purchase process that's causing visitors to abandon their cart? This sounds like a lot of work, but stay tuned because in chapter 4, you're going to learn about a mighty tool called Mouseflow that helps you find that friction very quickly, and then you can get rid of it. All right, so all of this friction removal essentially boils down to making the experience simpler, easier, and more effective. With not only the layout and functionality of the website, but also the words and images that are used. A good UX designer, user experience designer, will help you think through all this during the design process and prevent a lot of friction from showing up on your site in the first place. But the truth is, no matter how great your designer, every website has trouble spots that need taken care of. And many times you have no idea you have friction until you see your visitors experiencing problems with your own eyes. Fire starting versus pouring gas. This whole process of removing friction focuses your attention inward. You'll be working on starting the fire. To get the fire started, you first need your website to generate a lead or paying customer. How do you get just one customer to convert? Do you know how you did it? Can you do it again and again? Now, can you send in more traffic and expect the same results? If yes, then you know the fire's been started and you can use marketing to pour gas on it, sending in more and more traffic and growing your business in a predictable, scalable way. So what if you already have your foot on the marketing gas and your website's not working? Well, as painful as it might sound, you might have to take your foot off the gas for a little bit and really just focus inward. Remove all that friction from your website to get your website converting, and then you can put money into your marketing efforts again and really start to scale up. Plus, once your website's working, it becomes a numbers game. Send in X amount of users, get Y in revenue, and your only limit is the size of your target audience and your marketer's ability to bring them into your website. measuring your marketing, calculating customer acquisition costs, or CAC. Once you can track users all the way from marketing to conversion, your website's working, and you'll be able to measure how much it takes to acquire one customer, which is your customer acquisition costs. How do you measure CAC? You measure it with a simple calculation, in which you take the total amount of money you spent on marketing divided by the number of customers you acquired over the same time period. For example, if you spent $1,000 on marketing and got 10 new paying customers, your CAC is $100. That's $1,000 divided by 10. The bottom line, web designers typically don't remove friction. To do that, it would require traffic, and it would require their contract to extend past the launch and require and include design iterations. And marketers don't focus inward. They either can't remove friction because of how the website was created, or they're not rewarded to do it. They're rewarded to create more. That's the trend, right? More and more and more. More blog posts, more social media posts, more everything, in the hopes that something's going to work and it's going to draw that traffic in and magically convert. But if you think about it, every time you create something new on your website, a new blog post, a new form to fill out, you could be introducing more friction. So while it might be difficult to take your foot off the marketing gas in the short term, it's the right approach for the long term, because it's going to reduce your marketing spend and get your website to actually work for you. Don't have time to continue listening to chapter 4? Why don't you take a copy to go? Just click that button down in the bottom right. All right, you still with me? Here we are at chapter 4, how to get your website working. We've already talked about a lot of new approaches to web design and marketing. You've learned what you must know before creating a website, how to create a flexible website, and how to stop wasting money on marketing. Now it's time to talk about how to remove friction from the pages of your website and to get your website actually work. And we'll do that by seeing what your visitors are doing on your website and then fixing the problem areas. And luckily, this is actually pretty easy with a mighty little tool called Mouseflow. Watch your visitors in action with Mouseflow. I call Mouseflow the main brain. Most marketers rely on Google Analytics, and that's definitely a staple when it comes to analyzing websites. But Mouseflow is by far my favorite tool, and I tend to use it more than GA. With Mouseflow, I can see what's going on the website in a visual way. It gives me the ability to discover what's working or not working with my marketing efforts. And most importantly, it allows me to find all that troublesome friction. Mouseflow has three key features: visitor recordings, heat map technology, and click maps. Visitor recordings. When you add Mouseflow to your website, each user session is recorded. Imagine watching mouse tracking videos of your site and see how customers move through and experience it. Think of it as DVR for your website. Start watching the recordings and the friction will jump out and slap you in the face. You'll see pages taking too long to load. You'll see clicks in areas you're not expecting. You'll see visitors go from page to page, exposing patterns you're not expecting. You'll also see visitors fill out forms. Notice which fields they fill out and when they stop and abandon the form. These recordings alone will help you discover and fix a ton of friction on your site. Next up is heat map technology. Heat maps help you see how far down visitors scroll on each of your pages, so you can figure out what they see or don't see and discover where they may be dropping off your website. Maybe there's a certain sentence or image on your page that's driving traffic away. Heat maps can help you discover that. On the left is the heat map of my website when it had friction, and on the right is the heat map with friction removed. The colors represent how far down the page visitors scroll. Warm colors indicate more people see that part of the page, and cold colors represent a lower percentage of eyeballs. You can see in both images a lot of red at the top. This indicates 100% of visitors saw the top of the page. Now notice as you go down, the colors change to yellow and green, then blue on the left. On my first homepage design, 40% of visitors made it to the bottom, whereas 73% of visitors on my friction-free design made it all the way to the bottom, an 83% increase in scroll rate. Guess where my call to actions are on the friction-free design? At the bottom, where 73% of the visitors see them. They've already read my story, gotten to know me, and now I'm asking them to commit to the next step, and 48% of my visitors do. Now let's look at click maps. A click map in Mouseflow shows you how many people clicked which areas of each page. It's an incredibly visual way to light up your call to actions. What are people clicking on or not clicking on? Click maps can also show trouble spots. Maybe people think they should be able to click a word or an image that they can't. No other tool is going to give you this data. It's so powerful. Click maps are what I use to calculate my conversion rates before and after removing friction. Notice the red boxes. These are the call to actions. And this report shows me how many people viewed the page and how many clicked on each important area. Calculating conversion rates can't get easier. Get Mouseflow. Mouseflow is super simple to set up. Just like Google Analytics, it requires you to copy a small piece of JavaScript to your website. You can get this up and running in no time. So you've probably realized that in order to see friction on your website, you have to have traffic flowing in the first place, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about that. In this new world, you should be thinking about pre- and post-conversion marketing. So when you hire a marketer and they get started, instead of your marketer pouring gas on the fire right away, they should be thinking about sending in just enough traffic for you to light the fire in the first place. In the early days, instead of running big marketing campaigns, they should do some tests, collect some data, learn, and decide if it's something that should be scaled up later. They can do SEO, write quality content, and build backlinks. These are all long-term marketing tactics that can be started anytime. If those efforts don't produce enough traffic for testing, they can use Facebook ads to get some short bursts of targeted traffic. I find it to be the easiest and most inexpensive way to drive targeted traffic, and it's what I rely on for most of my friction testing. I also have two Twitter accounts with a ton of followers. At Jessica Jobes has 25,000 followers, and at On The Grid Now has 60,000 followers. These are great assets that I spent a year building up. Now I can schedule a bunch of tweets and get that traffic flowing in with a day's notice. Your marketer may want to take a similar approach to social media. In the beginning, it's about building large audiences. And then when your website's working and you know you can convert the traffic from those large audiences, that's when you start engaging those audiences and giving them juicy links to click on and to come on into your website. We've covered a lot, so I thought it'd be helpful to summarize the steps I take to remove friction and get my website working, generating leads and sales. Number one, build a flexible website that can be updated on the fly. Number two, bring a small amount of traffic into the site through social media and advertising campaigns. Number three, gather data and figure out where your visitors are exiting your website. Number four, make changes to your website based on the data. Number five, once you've started to see serious conversions, it's time to pour gas on the fire, invest more in successful campaigns, and engage more through social outreach. Keep the conversions coming and continue to optimize your website as needed. The bottom line. So I hope I've convinced you that there's another way to approach web design and marketing. From a web design perspective, your first website, the design that's created, that's just the starting point, right? And you need to get in there and remove all that friction. So think about it as a flexible place that needs to be molded and changed based on what your visitors are doing or not doing. And then once you get your visitors converting, that's when it's time for marketing to pour gas on that fire and really scale up your marketing efforts. So if this has been helpful to you and you'd like to keep a copy of this for your own needs to revisit later or get the PDF copy, go ahead and click that button down there and enter your email address and I'll send a copy straight to your inbox. If you think somebody else would benefit from this information, please share it on Facebook. And finally, join me in my masterclass called 4 Best Practices to Unleash Your Website's Potential, where I teach you all sorts of new material in order to get your website unlocked and growing your business like clockwork. So there's a link to that in the text area. You can also get there at https://onthegridnow.com/free-online-workshop. And I hope you'll join me. All right. Thanks so much for sticking with me this far and participating. And again, I'm Jess and I will talk to you soon. All right. Thanks. Bye.